It is always such a pleasure to have Reverend Maria with us. She has been my dear friend and my practitioner for over 25 years now. And it just amazes me how everything she says to me continues to be fresh and new and uplifting. And I so look forward to our bi-weekly sessions. It just makes such a difference in my life. So I appreciate her consciousness. I appreciate her love. I appreciate her willingness to come here and speak to us because we all love her. And I just am grateful for my friend and my mentor, Reverend Maria Shemaiah Clemente.
Thank you, my dearest Connie. As you spoke those beautiful words, I'm reminded of that sweet poem. And who knew that it would be about us when we say, grow old along with me, the best is yet to be. So here we are, growing old together in years, but certainly expanding in wisdom and love. And that's always a beautiful thing. And yes, the best is yet to be. We affirm that together as a group. And we embody that deep within our hearts. And it's so interesting to me that for all of us that have been a part of some sort of spiritual teaching for a long time, and especially for those of us that have been in the teaching of science of mind or new thought for a long time, we kind of get to that place where we get really comfortable with our own languaging and we assume sometimes that other people are on board with that, that they think the same way as we do, or that they understand what we're talking about. But sometimes we have an encounter where we realize maybe not so much. Or as one of our ministers used to always say, that in science of mind, sometimes we get so enamored with the sound of our words, we forget the power of their impact. So I was at a flea market years ago, and this is one of those encounters that I will always remember, and that's always a touchstone for me. I was working next to a woman, and she was a devout Baptist, and we got along really good, and we had a nice relationship, and we got to the place where it was the end of the year, coming up on the Christmas holiday, and and so we had what we called the round robin conversation. Me, I'm like a warm puppy. Everybody's into love, peace, and joy. Everything's good all the time. And she would say to everyone, Merry Christmas. And I would say, Happy Holidays. And she would turn around and go, No, Merry Christmas. So, okay. So one day I said to her, Well, I'm really feeling happy holidays because there are so many holidays taking place at this time of year and everybody's celebrating the light and it's so beautiful. And I really appreciate that. No, it's Jesus's birthday and it's only Christmas. Okay. So we were going round and round in this and I just said, I'm just going to say my happy holiday. You say your Merry Christmas. Everything's good. And she said, No, you're just wrong. And I said, Okay. And at one point, I said to her, It's all really okay because, we're all one anyway. I mean, we're all just one big family. It's all one anyway. And she said those words to me that I think should just be on a t-shirt, those words that have stayed with me for all of these years. She said, I don't want your oneness. You can keep it. So I said, that's a great t-shirt. I don't want your oneness, exclamation point. You can keep it, exclamation point. Fascinating. Love that. Even if you're not in total alignment or acceptance of the idea of oneness, well, what can we say? I guess the best way to explain it is that the cat's out of the bag. We are already immersed in this sense of oneness, We may all have different language for it, and it's all beautiful because we are all creating that spiritual collective, just having different ways of experiencing it. And I think that this is really the heart and soul of this gorgeous essay from Ernest Holmes in The Philosophy of Ernest Holmes, where he's talking to the Tuesday group again, and it is just shortly after he has his white light experience. He's just reminding us that the source of all is one. It's a singular sensation, if you will. It is just one power and presence, and that it manifests itself, it expresses itself through many different forms, but we're all coming from the same place. And that's a beautiful thing. When he begins the talk, he says, we find ourselves with two propositions. One, that if anything is to be at all, there has to be an absolute unity of all life, no matter whether we like it or we don't like it. This will include war, pestilence, famine, tigers fighting in the jungle, exalted love, and the most debased passion. We are not going to be able to deny one experience without denying the validity of all of them. It is just simply one. What has been fascinating to observe in understanding that is how that one has grown, evolved, and expressed over the decades that we've really started this conversation about oneness and wholeness and all of these beautiful spiritual qualities. It is all one. And as we dive deeper into that understanding, the cat is definitely out of the bag, because all of us, each in our own way, have been praying for and from oneness for decades. So that oneness can and must reveal itself as our world at whatever level of consciousness we are residing in. It's all one. Whatever we see, whatever we experience, whatever we feel, everything arises from that one. It's like the story from the Batman movie I like. Sometimes I like a good superhero movie. And there is this moment at the end of the movie where Batman has cornered the villain, put him in prison, and comes up to him and says, "Wherever you go, I will know where you are, and I will find you." And the villain understands that what we've experienced somewhat in our world, that though you may find me and you may hunt me, the energy of chaos that I represent has been unleashed into the world. So you can take out the player, but if you haven't taken out the energy, it will just manifest in another form. And I thought about that and I said, that is so true for us with the light, just as it is true for whatever energy that person was experiencing. And he ends the conversation with him, and this is another thing that I would love to have on a t-shirt. He says, "You can't stop that because the bell has been rung. And that energy has been unleashed. And once you ring the bell, you cannot unring it." And I said, the bell is oneness. The bell has already been rung. And we cannot unring the bell because that energy has already been unleashed. So whenever we speak our word in spiritual mind treatment and affirmation and conversation with another human being, in any form of expression on this world, we are ringing the bell. Ed knows about that. Ed rings the bells. We have rung the bell for all of these decades, and oneness has manifested in the world in such an extraordinary way. We are all bell ringers. And that is one of the things that Ernest tells us here in this chapter, that once we have embody that, embrace that deep in our consciousness, it comes to pass. Or, as he would like to say in the science of mind, he'll give us another example. Perhaps the simplest way to state the proposition is to say that we are surrounded by a mind, yes, or intelligence, yes, that knows everything, yes, that the potential knowledge of all things exists in this mind, that the abstract essence of beauty, truth, and wisdom coexist in the mind of the universe, that we also exist in it and may draw from it. But, say that, but, here goes Ernest, he's going to show us, but what we draw from it, we must draw through the channel of our own minds. Us, here. A unity must be established and a conscious connection must be made before we can derive the benefits which the greater mind is willing to reveal or impart to us. It moves through us by living as us. And what Connie said in her opening prayer about the expansiveness is the most exciting part of that, because it is watching it move through us, live as us over these decades, that is absolutely phenomenal. What happens when we speak our word and we ring that bell? And what we know in science of mind is that a higher use of the law always transcends a lower use of the law. So we are continuously evolving to a higher use of the law and experiencing oneness at a more embraced, expansive, I don't even know what the word is, mind-blowing level. So if you look at the world in which we live, everything is a demonstration or a manifestation of the oneness that we've been holding in conscious, the bell that we've been ringing all of these decades. If we but see it, and as Amanda Gorman would say, if we just be it. So, for instance, however long ago, 2008, when we had all of the challenges with the auto industry, my friend from Michigan was on like one of the first assembly lines for GMC back in the early 50s, putting together cars, and was so happy and overjoyed to have this job. Think of the mindset of living in the 1950s and a beautiful wife and a beautiful house and a family to come and a job on an assembly line making this phenomenal thing that's a car. And there's assembly lines where they're mass producing this automobile and that's never been done. And he's a part of that history. And it's so wonderful. And retires at an early age and is retired for all of these decades, I mean like 55 years, retired before he passed away. And I remember talking with him in 2008 when we had this automobile experience, this automobile crisis. And he said to me, it was so good back in the 50s when I was on the line and I was a part of everybody and we were making these cars. And now everybody wants global economy. And look at the mess that we made because everybody wanted a global economy. And I thought, wow, look at the evolution of oneness in just that one simple example, right? That oneness at one time was a factory of people coming together, hands and hearts and minds working to create a common good, and has evolved over the course of those almost 60 years to now realizing a global market where every country on some level is involved in the pieces and parts of those things that take us all the way around the world. It's oneness from two different perspectives, but it's still oneness. And it was the same thing when I spoke to him. I said, the bell has been rung. The marketplace is global. We are here. And this is how we are manifesting and revealing oneness at this level right now. And it's a glorious thing. And we keep working on expanding what it is we're experiencing from that sense of oneness. Because at that most basic, almost tribal level, we're learning that abundance applies to all. And so as we experience this global marketplace as a manifestation of oneness, we're experiencing what is good financially for one must be good for all. And we're learning to support each other, and the market is an outpicturing of that. So we've been praying for oneness all of these years, thinking it's going to show up in one way. Here it is here. It shows up almost 20 years later, 12 years later, as COVID, oneness, global health impacted by the power of a singular virus. Oneness manifests at the level of our consciousness. Doesn't look at all like we think oneness should look, but it is oneness. As Ernest said, it's all oneness or it's not. And what it shows us, just as the global marketplace showed us our understanding of abundance, this showed us our level of compassion, of connection, of community, of healing, of health, of wholeness. All of these things reflecting from our collective understanding of oneness in that singular moment as the family of humanity, as what Ernest would call one human family rooted in the soil of God. It's all one. It's all one. And so we come together now in this moment as we are co-creating our world, continuing to ring the bell for everybody coming together. What is it that we want to create from here? When we really understand the power of oneness and how it lives in us, it's absolutely extraordinary. And in the chapter, again, Ernest is talking about how we remember to go back to that creative power and source. And he tells us that the invisible things of God from foundation of the world are made manifest by the visible. What you see comes out of what you don't see. What you do see interprets what you don't see. What you do see is what you don't see in the form of what you do see. It cannot be something else. The universe has to be an undivided and indivisible totality whose whole essence appears at any and every point within it simultaneously and evenly distributed. And I was so excited when I found that quote, because I often share that that was part of my practitioner training. And when I say it to people, they go, "Where did that come from?" And I say it came from Ernest, because we were always told when we were working consciousness, speaking our word and treatment, that when you believe more in what you don't see than in what you do see, then what you don't see, you will see. And what you do see, you won't see it. And that comes straight from Ernest. So we must learn to allow that which we do not see, that invisible, to be called forth through the power of our minds and our hearts and our consciousness into the world. Ring the bell. Everyone has an opportunity to do just that. So what would we like to create? Well, we are in our second year, third term of practitioner training at CSL Manatee, and we have a class project that is available to the students. And when I first read what the project entailed, I went like this, kaboom, because I was so My mind was so blown by the possibility of what this could be that I want to share that with you today as each and every one of us ponders how we can call forth the spiritual wisdom and wonder of oneness and allow it to populate our world. And the project, it encourages us to think of ways to teach the truth. It inspires us to think about how to consciously engage in our spiritual community, social circles, and in the larger world of work, education, health, sports, play, and leisure. So together, let's think of all the age groups and of the stress of today's fast-paced life. Let's think of social injustice and inequity. With this in mind, how can each and every one of us teach ways of replacing fear with love? In other words, how many ways can you teach oneness? How can you help others realize their full potential? To fulfill the requirement of the class project, each student will present to the class, dum, 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 dum. This was the thing that blew my mind. We will present an idea for contributing to the advancement of human consciousness. Wow. The advancement of human consciousness. Each and every one of us can do that. Let's do that. Let's play that game. Let's advance human consciousness. So it says, choose something that will bring forth a greater expression of God on earth. No pressure, just that. A greater expression of God on earth. Though it might not be presented to others in those words. Phyllis is experiencing at work. Some of us are experiencing it through music. Others are expressing it through other forms of business, through recovery programs, through healing the planet, through loving our children, through all of these things. The idea can be something you alone would do, or it can be something you need a community to do. The activity should be based on science of mind and based in our principles and practices like visioning and spiritual mind treatment, but it doesn't necessarily have to be called faith-based. It's just an expression of our humanity. So be expansive, let your creativity flow, and remember, it is the idea that counts. Dream your dream, see your vision, feel your passion, and those things alone, released into the law, are causative. We are setting a new cause in motion, and we are this month demonstrating the beginning of a grand idea for the advancement of human consciousness, of oneness in expression. So how can I contribute to the greater expression of God or spirit on earth? What do you think? Sound good? Want to do that? Let's play. I think Ernest would have loved that idea. I think that if he had been here right now with us reading his essay, he goes, that's exactly what I'm talking about. So I know that all of us coming together through the power of the spiritual collective, through our prayers, our consciousness, our minds, our hearts, our willingness, are right now ringing the bell, and it cannot be unrung. We have spoken the word that it is so. So I leave you with that thought and with the closing thought at the end of this chapter. And I'm sure Connie will probably read the same thing in 2 weeks, but I'll read it first and then Connie can probably read it in 2 weeks. But he closes the chapter with this beautiful affirmative statement for all of us. We are one with the eternal and ineffable presence, divine spirit. We are one with all the love and beauty and peace and presence and power that there is in the universe. It is what we are. There is one life. That life is God. That life is our life. That life is perfect. Infinite and eternal peace, ineffable beauty, stillness, silence, tranquility, the peace of that which everywhere is, but does not move, but all movement takes place within it. The limitless strength of that force and energy that supports the universe, upholding its own creation in cosmic harmony. The love which eternally gives of itself through the outpouring of its own spirit to the delight of its own soul, an expression of its own will, and the joy of beholding. With all this, we identify ourselves. With all this, we align ourselves in simplicity. Now the mind shall not contradict this. That which affirms itself shall indeed be united. Let the word go forth. Let it be good. And so it is.